quick note on this week's episode. It was recorded in the main dining room of CodeMash 2017 in the absolutely massive Kalahari Resorts, so the sound is a bit echoey and harder to edit than normal. Now we both kinda like it. Now we both kinda know that if we're ever gonna make it, we just need to let go. You are listening to the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast. I'm your host, Matt Groves. Please visit the site at crosscuttingconcerns.com, where you can subscribe, browse the archives, contact me, read show notes, and leave a comment. I'm recording this podcast during CodeMash 2017 here in Kalahari Studios at the Kalahari Resort in tropical Sandusky, Ohio. My guest today is the creator of Structure Map, Storyteller, and Martin, Jeremy Miller. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for being on the show. What brings you to CodeMash this year?
I try to get out here at least every other year. I've enjoyed CodeMash for years. See old friends, learn something new. Just the randomness and the variation in the sessions is fun.
Absolutely. I like to get to a couple of sessions about technology I've never touched before, just to see if there's something there that can apply to other stuff I'm doing. That's a great place to do that. So speaking of technology, can we talk a little bit about Martin today? Can you tell me what Martin is?
Oh, absolutely. So my shop has been pretty heavily invested in document databases. We like the approach, but we knew we needed to move on to different tooling than what we had. A former colleague of mine was very interested in PostgreSQL.
Okay.
And when we looked at it and played with it a little bit more, the JSONB features, the very strong JavaScript and JSON features of Postgres, we thought and theorized that it would be possible to create a full-fledged document database using Postgres as the actual underlying storage engine. And on top of that, so we built out a document database, link support, leveraging quite a bit of the JavaScript features for database side transformations. And then we've also added in an event store backed into PostgreSQL as well, writing with the Martin library that enables you to immediately treat the projection views as just documents. So a full link provider to your projected views out of the event store. That's actually turned out to be much more popular outside of our shop than inside of our own.
Okay. Just to take a step back here a little bit, so Martin it's basically a document database layer that uses PostgreSQL as a backing. Is that a way to describe it? Or?
Yes. Maybe to be a little more accurate, it's really just a fancy client data access library for Postgres that makes it act like a document database.
Does it run in its own process, or is it run in your app domain separate from?
It just runs in your app domain.
Okay, great. Now, document databases, often they start with a very simple git and put sort of model of interacting with documents. Is that something in Postgres as well, as opposed to a normal like insert or update you'd see in a SQL database?
Well, behind the scenes, it's an insert or update,
sure,
to be technical. It's using, Postgres has a fancy built-in upsert mechanism.
Okay.
Now, behind the scenes, it's an upsert into tables that Martin is building, controlling, helping you manage. So Martin's just storing the raw document as JSON and a little bit of metadata, data, and some other things for searching.
Okay. And so as far as searching and querying then, do you use SQL or can you use SQL with Martin?
Yes.
You can.
So building the link providers, it's extremely time consuming and somebody always finds something you're missing.
Yep.
So it's supported out of the box to drop right down to SQL.
Okay.
Either feed it a where clause against the document type or give it even more help. And then you can always bypass Martin and go straight at the raw SQL tables as well.
Okay. You wouldn't want to necessarily update or mutate those directly. You'd want to go through Martin, though, to do that? Or?
I'm going to strongly recommend that you go through Martin itself.
Okay. And what about indexing on those JSON fields? Does Postgres support indexing on those?
That's a great question. So Postgres has some really cool functionality for that. Postgres supports calculated indexes, where you can say, I want an index on this expression, as long as the expression is something that's immutable. So we can say, I want to build an index on this JSON operator. Say you're just searching on a property inside of your document. And Postgres can use that JSON expression, the JSON finder, and it'll build an index for you, just like it was a regular column in a database table.
Okay, that's really great. I've heard some really good things about the JSON features of Postgres, the newer ones. I haven't had a chance to try it out yet, so. Is that what sort of prompted you using Postgres? Was some of those newer JSON features then?
Oh, absolutely. The thing that I think sets Postgres apart a little bit from SQL Server or Oracle, the JSON support, they have a binary format.
Right.
So it's parsed, it's in binary. They have a couple index types specifically for searching within JSON documents in cases where you're doing a lot of ad hoc searching. And then being able to run JavaScript inside of the database itself has been really powerful for kind of patching and partial application, and then also things like transformations. Taking the example of building a web application backed by Martin, you have the document of whatever your aggregate is, but the view needs something. What you're passing down through HTTP is a simplified view of it, most likely. What you can do optionally with Martin is you can use a JavaScript function to just transform the big raw document into exactly what the view needs. And when Martin fetches that, you can fetch it, you can have Martin just fetch the JSON stream and shoot it straight down to the HTTP response.
Okay.
So you avoid all the unnecessary, let me deserialize it, and let me throw something like AutoMapper and twist it into a new object and then serialize that. You can take a tremendous amount of runtime overhead away.
Okay. Now, Martin is relatively new to the scene in terms of document databases. Are you using it in production? And if so, what use cases would you recommend it for, and which would you, not recommend it for?
Okay, so we are using it today. I know members of the community are using the event store much more than we are.
Okay.
We're strictly using the document database part of it so far. One application that I know is big enough that it runs on 10 application servers. I don't think we're using any of the advanced features yet in that, but so I would say that Martin, or really a document database, I think it fits very well when your data is hierarchical.
Okay.
If your domain model is a little more complicated, any place where a relational model kind of gets in the way when your data is not flat, I think it's perfectly useful for CRUD applications, but it's not nearly as big of a benefit there. Some of the things we don't have, I mean, I think that's where not to use it's where we have limitations. We're not any kind of direct competitor to something like Kafka or something that's going to push calculated views out to you.
Okay.
We're still missing, we haven't gotten around to sharding or multi-tenancy. It'll get there someday, hoping with a lot of those things you can just use built-in Postgres features to get there, and we won't have to do much of that ourselves.
Yeah, that was my next question, is oftentimes document databases are used because they're relatively easy to scale out, relatively inexpensive to scale out as well. And I was just wondering, how does that work with Martin or with Postgres? I mean, what are the scaling features built into that?
So I can't call myself a Postgres expert, but we're able to run Postgres hot behind a load balancer.
Okay.
I mean, Postgres has been used in some really big web scale applications, so it is possible to cluster it and scale it horizontally.
Okay.
But I think if Martin ever got into a really big application, I think he'd probably try to segment the database.
Okay. And then one of the things I hear a lot, I work for Couchbase, and one of the questions I get a lot from developers is, how do transactions work? They're worried about a lot of document databases don't have multi-document transactions as a core feature. So you have to work around that in interesting ways. How does Martin attack that problem?
Well, since we're just writing on Postgres, when you persist a unit of work of however many documents you have, it's doing it in one logical database transaction. So you're ACID all the way down.
Okay. So it's using the ACID features of Postgres.
Yes.
That's very nice.
Alternatively, as an option, you can run some of your event store projections, what we call inline.
Okay.
So if you get into cases where maybe you have very few writes but lots and lots of reads, you may update the projected views at the same time you capture the events, and that would come in as one logical transaction.
Okay. Okay. So where would I go to start learning more about Martin or trying it out?
Any of my longtime followers will be surprised to know that we've actually got pretty good documentation. So the website is jasperfx.github.io/Martin. And Martin is spelled M-A-R-T-E-N. It's named after the little weasel-like animal.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to promote before we wrap up the show?
I think let's leave it with that.
My guest today has been Jeremy Miller. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
This has been the Cross-Cutting Concerns podcast, produced and recorded by Matt Groves, 2017. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media and leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you downloaded this podcast. For show notes, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com. This episode is recorded under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. Hosting for this podcast was made possible in part by Microsoft. It was recorded and mixed with the help of Audacity, Skype, and Camtasia Recorder. The theme music is by The Dirty Truckers. You can buy the music on Amazon or iTunes. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on a future episode, please go to crosscuttingconcerns.com to submit your name and idea.